Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephphatha. Very seldom in the New Testament, and especially in the Gospels, do we actually get an original language word that's not changed. It could be translated, be opened, but the Gospel writer, in this case, Mark, decides that it is important enough that Jesus is saying it directly to the Father, that it's important enough for it to remain in the original language, in Aramaic. Ephphatha, be opened. When I was going through seminary, it was so funny because we spent in homiletics class, that's the class where you learn how to preach, we spent two classes on the topic naming your sermon. To this day, I just laugh about it because the idea was that you should have a sermon title that catches people's imagination. A matter of fact, I can't remember which seminary in the States it was because this is a long time ago, but I remember my professor saying that in one of the seminaries in the United States, you couldn't pass the preaching class until you had a sermon title that would get Mrs. O'Leary off the bus. And the idea was, and so the guy, he was saying, people come up like, there's a bomb on the bus. Or there's this, or there's that. You know, ways to get people to react, ways to get them to respond. And it's funny because every time something like this comes up in the text, it reminds me of the story of how do we get people's attention. Well, Jesus obviously didn't want people's attention, yet he uses this powerful word, which is not only for the person who is deaf that he's speaking to, but I believe is for us. Because we talk about the whole idea of healing and rest. One of the things that you need to understand about the context of Mark chapter 7 is that Jesus is really, at this point in his ministry, I would argue that he is getting tired. Any of you ever get tired? Ever get weary? Jesus is, after all, 100% God, 100% human, and therefore he does get weary, right? We know this. He weeps. We're talking about this all the way through the summer, talking about emotional health. And we recognize that he got weary. So much so that he had these planned R&Rs. How many of you have gone an R&R? Rest and relaxation, right? He had these planned times that he wanted to take his disciples to spend time together. And he, after dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, trying to help them to understand that they were following after dead tradition rather than the living God, he was tired. He was weary. He needed rest. And so he was going to, he decides to take his disciples to a region that, which is along the Mediterranean coast, which is now in southern Lebanon, which wealthy Galileans in the time of Jesus, people who had means, were able to go, and it was kind of, the Caribbean for a lot of people in the United States, or maybe Florida. It was a nice place to go, a great place to rest and relax, okay? And so he takes his disciples up to this area, which again now is in southern Lebanon, and he takes them there to spend some R&R. Can you move forward a bit on the slide? Sorry. There we go. And he's in the Tyre and Sidon region, which if you look up here, you can see it's up at the top. That one map there shows his journey as he goes up to Tyre and Sidon. And in Tyre, in the area of Tyre, he meets this woman. And I gotta tell you, it's an amazing story because I didn't fully understand this story until I went to India. And I'll tell you why. I've been embarrassed by this story in the Bible for years. Because what does Jesus sound like when he says to this woman, the bread is for the children, not for the dogs? What does it sound like? Does he sound very sensitive? Is he politically correct? No. How many of you have kind of cringed when you've heard this story? Yeah, I have. I'm like, couldn't you just articulate it better? I mean, he is God after all. I mean, come on. But you know, it's amazing because when I was in India, I started to understand the caste system. Have you heard of the caste system? Yeah, and in the caste system, people are born into a caste and they stay in that caste. And so when something changes, when one person, and this is what happened when Christianity came to the area that Carol and Annalise and Hannah went to, when Christianity came to the area, that was one of the biggest changes that happened in that area, was that when the caste system, when Mother Teresa went to the area that I traveled in Calcutta, that was one of the biggest changes. She was known because she went out and she dealt with people who were untouchable, who were in the lowest caste, who were not allowed to be touched. And so when you understand the caste system, you understand that what he said needed to be said in such that, in a way to actually break the barrier between the Jews and this Gentile woman. If he would have said it in a way that was poetic and maybe in a parable or maybe in another way, it wouldn't have broken that barrier. This barrier needed to be broken. And it's kind of like I talk to people who do mission work, to people who are still in the caste system, and they have to be really, really strong in their words to break what has become from the time of their birth through all of their adolescence, through their maturity, into their adulthood, has become their station in life, for them to get to understand that there is not a caste system when it comes to the kingdom. It needs to be articulated powerfully. And when I understood, when I listened to people talk about how hard it was for them to articulate, how they had to use sometimes vulgar language to get people to understand how serious it was that they were no longer just part of this caste, but as a child of God, they were of the upper caste. I mean, this is a huge change. Huge. And it required speaking boldly. And so when I came back and started to look at this text, I started to understand why Jesus says what he says. Because he wants to make it very clear to her, and her response is, it shows an understanding of it, that he got through to her, right? Because she uses the imagery, she uses what he has said to her about the dogs not being given the bread, and she says, but even the crumbs fall from the table and the dogs get fed. And as soon as she uses that, what does he say to her? Your words. Basically, your understanding shows your faith. And without having to do anything, what does he say? What was her issue? Her daughter had an unclean spirit, right? What happened? Without him doing anything to the daughter, what happens? He tells her, go home. And when she goes home, what does she find? Her daughter is healed, delivered. And then he does something really interesting because he goes all the way from Tyre and Sidon. You see over on this side of the map? And he comes back to their Capernaum where they were based. And he goes over to the Decapolis, which is on this side. Okay, this side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's at the bottom, you can see it basically at the bottom there. And again, it's an area where the Jewish people were less predominant than the Gentiles. And so he goes there, and I think it's significant that Mark mentions this. He goes there, and what is his first experience? Again, he's trying to spend time with his disciples. He's preparing them for the cross. He's preparing them for what's going to come. He needs to have some R&R. He wants to build up his disciples. He basically, I believe, needs some rest. And yet, here are the people that he's ministering to. What do? They bring the deaf, mute person to him, right? And it's interesting to me because he flipped the slide, sorry. One more. Okay, we did that one. Next one. Nope, there should be one before that. Sorry. Back. Just keep going back. There, that's the one. And so he comes back to Capernaum, and then goes around the sea to the Decapolis. And it says, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. Now, can you answer something for me? Why did he just say to the woman, go home, your daughter is delivered, right? Is healed. Why do they want him to lay hands on this person? Pardon me? Quite often it was the way he healed. Yeah. And you think it was because as they brought the person to him, that was a connection? That if he laid hands on him, there was a connection? And I think it's really significant because you remember, Jesus has dealt with the empty traditions of the elders. He's dealt with the people who think that what goes into the body makes them unclean rather than what comes out of the body. He's dealt with feeding people. He's dealt with trying to help people to see what the kingdom is really like, because his whole point is repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? He wants them to understand what the kingdom is. And now he's gone, and he's gone into the Tyre and Sidon region, and he's healed this woman's daughter. And now he goes on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's in a region where the man is brought to him. And instead of doing this in front of everyone, what does he do? Takes him aside. Why do you think he did that? Hmm? Yeah. If you're trying to, if you're trying to teach a small group of people and you're scared of these crowds that might follow you, because what happened every time he did miracles? What happened in his life? He had the crowds. John Wimber, I'll never forget, he talked about power evangelism. If you want to do evangelism, just go about healing people. It has an effect. People recognize their need, their brokenness, and they recognize the need for healing. So what he does here is fascinating to me. And in taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. Now, some people say, well, that was because he was deaf and mute, and so this was a way for him to connect, just like laying hands, right? But I think there's more to it, because he looks up into heaven, he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. As a sacramental Christian, this gives me goosebumps. Because there's more to what we receive than just the word, right? As a sacramental Christian, what I love about this is that we need to experience things more than just with words. That's why when we take the sacrament, with all of our senses, we receive Christ, right? We not only see and hear, but we touch and we taste and we smell. Isn't that awesome? You see, with all of our senses, if you're going to leave here today and think that you haven't been touched, if the Lord hasn't opened your eyes and opened your hearts, if he hasn't given you an invitation to receive the forgiveness he has for you, to receive the gift of eternal life that he has for you, to recognize your brokenness and that he wants to bring you and restore you and make you new, when you take the sacrament with all of those senses, you experience what this person experienced. Do you think he could have just said Ephphatha without doing all the... And it would have had as much power as it did when he said to the woman, go home, your daughter has been delivered. It would have had just as much power. But he does it so that this person experiences the touch, experiences the power, experiences the healing. Ephphatha, be opened. And I would argue it's more than just having his ears opened. I mean, Isaiah 35 says that the deaf will have their ears unstopped, and the mute will have their tongue untied. It's more than that. It's more than that. Be opened to the truth of who you are. Be open to the truth of what God has done for you. Be open to the fact that He is alive and well, desiring to live in your heart, desiring to walk with you each day, desiring to be there no matter what, even if you don't feel it. Ephphatha, be open. Be open to the rest that He wants to give us. Be open to the healing that He wants to offer us. Be open to the forgiveness that He has won for us. Be open to the opportunities He puts before us. And His ears were opened, His tongue released, and He spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more He charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. Reverse psychology. You think that's a modern thing? So I'm going to try it. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell a soul. Keep it all in. Remember what I'm trying to do? Because brothers and sisters, we live in a time where there is so much brokenness. When you look around and you see people struggling with identity, you look around and see people struggling with anger and hatred, with a desire for vengeance, look around and see what's happening in our country or in our world, I think that we need Ephphatha. I think we need Ephphatha. I think we need to be opened to the truth that we are to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Amen? That we are to be people who proclaim to people that if you keep trying to change things by getting angry and upset and keep a record of all the wrongs and try to get vengeance or justice, as some people put it, which is really vengeance, are you going to be happy? Are you going to be at peace? Are you going to see things the way Christ sees things? Are you going to see people the way Christ sees people? Brothers and sisters, the world needs to hear Ephphatha. The world's eyes, ears, hearts, minds need to be opened to the truth of the gospel. That there's no one that can stand up before God on their own. There's no one that is righteous enough. There's no one good enough. There's no one rich enough. There's no one powerful enough. There's no one that can do it on their own. Each of us comes to the Lord as a damned sinner in need of His forgiveness and salvation. That's the truth of the broken world we live in. And I pray that through your, what God has given you as your gifts, what God has given you as people in your lives, what God has given you in your everyday life, the opportunities that He puts before you, that you will be willing to say to people, Ephphatha! Ephphatha! Be open. Because the Lord wants to pour amazing things into your life, doesn't He? I believe that the Lord wants to do some amazing healing. That's why we have prayer during communion. I hope that, sometimes I forget to announce that, but we have prayer during communion so that people can get prayed for. Because I believe God is doing amazing things in healing. He wants people to be healed. And a lot of times, you know, we like to go to God and say, well, Lord, I would like option 1B. Because I would like to be healed of this thing. And what the Lord looks at you and just has that fatherly smile on, He says, well, see, Brian, you need to be fixed of 1A, 1C, 1D, 1E, 1F, 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D. You see the problem? You want to be healed of this one thing, but what I've got for you is I got the whole picture. I want to heal you, and I want to make you whole. I want to heal all these things. And so it's dangerous to ask the Lord to be healed. I'm just telling you right now. When he starts healing, he starts dealing with all of those things. With the sin, with the restoration, with the reconciliation, with all those things that have to happen. And a lot of those times, it's not easy. I want to close with this. Do you think that the life of that person who was healed, whose ears were unstopped, and whose tongue was released, do you think that their life changed dramatically? I think so. Do you think that all the changes that they experienced were positive? I doubt it. I doubt it. We often think this. We think that, you know, if the Lord heals us, it's going to be awesome. Well, you know what? Healing is also a process. And a lot of times when people get healed, they get healed and they wonder, why isn't everything better? Because that one thing you got healed of wasn't all the broken pieces. And it takes a long time for things to come back together. So I want to encourage you. We're going to be doing the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about healing. And the biggest thing that I want to leave you with today is that, can you rest in the fact that when the Lord starts the healing process, he heals according to what is needed rather than what is wanted? Can we agree to that? And we pray, Lord, heal us. Help us to see. Help us to have a faith. Help us to be open so that we can know that you can do all things well. He can even make the deaf hear and the mute speak. He can do all those things that are promised. But he will do what's needed, not always what's wanted. Amen.